Junkies. What's going on, golf addicts? Welcome to the 2024 Arnold Palmer Invitational DraftKings DFS Preview. DB here, my boy Pat Perry. How we doing, P? You good? You okay? We just had a little fight on the betting show. I just want to make sure. Are you?
Oh, no, it wasn't a fight. That was just, you know.
We've definitely had worse.
We've had worse.
Yeah.
I think. You know, it would probably get elevated if I was drinking like Tito's or something, but I'm not.
Yeah, I know. I need you to drink more Tito's.
It would have been an elevated one.
You should drink Tito's for elevated events, for signature events.
I just thought about that. When I said elevated, I was like, wait a second.
Go get some.
No, I can't. I don't have any.
What?
I don't have any Tito's.
You guys have to fix that before I come in town next week.
Oh, yeah. But don't worry. Have I ever not been prepared when you
come? I know. I'm also shocked you don't have Tito's. I've never known you to not have any Tito's in your house.
I don't drink it as much as I used to.
I know you don't. All right. Well, look, it was a great show, even though, you know, we bickered. But we had our friend Matt Every on, two-time winner at the Arnold Palmer at Bay Hill. He had just gotten done playing the Pro-Am at Bay Hill. And, boy, he dished out some good information, not just about this golf course, not just about a couple players he talked to today, but had some cool stories. We talked about a few of the hot topics in golf at the moment. It's a really good conversation. If you haven't already watched the Matt Every interview in the betting show, in the beginning of the betting show, you need to go check that out. It was really good. Appreciate Matt for doing that. Also, if you want full kind of course trends, key stats, things to know about Bay Hill, I did do a course breakdown video this week. You can check that out on the YouTube channel or podcast feed. I've played Bay Hill a handful of times. I don't like Bay Hill. It's a terrible golf course, but you know, we talked about it. We broke it down. We looked at what our friends Bet the Number said about Arnold Palmer and about this golf tournament and Bay Hill, and we talked through it. So thank you to our friends at Bet the Number. And if you don't already have a subscription to Bet the Number, what are you even doing? It's the hottest up-and-coming golf data and analytics site on the market right now. These boys are moving at ludicrous speed. Shout out Spaceballs, right?
Yes.
How about a Spaceballs reference in an ad read? Our friends.
I feel like we did. Did we do that last week too? I feel like Spaceballs has now come up a couple times.
I don't think we did it last week. We did do a. I think we talked about us. I do think we talked about Spaceballs in a recent podcast, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're doing great. They're doing great things. They just launched in January, and the site is fantastic, rapidly improving. Some good features coming for the players and the Masters. Our friend Byron, the Model Maniac, as well as ourselves, using the new live betting tool to really hammer some of these live bets and props. Our friends at Bet the Number supplying us with a lot of great information back there. And the people behind it, the people building it, all dedicated and committed to golf and making the best product they can for golf handicappers and bettors out there. So check it out. If you haven't already, if you want to try it, you can. You get a free trial for a 7-day free trial if you do the monthly or annual membership using code TJ. And then you get $5 off and $50 off the annual subscription when you do that. However, if you are a paying member of the Discord, you can DM myself or Pat. We'll give you a unique code to get a massive annual discount. The biggest available anywhere on the internet for Bet the Number. So shout out to them. Pat, let's do a little bit of a Cognizant DFS postmortem. I wrote up a full postmortem there in the Nut Hut in the Discord, but I'll give a few highlights. First off, the perfect lineup for last week would have been Austin Ekroat, Van Ruyen, Minwoo Lee, Shane Lowry, Jake Knapp, and K.H. Lee would have been your perfect lineup. You would have scored 675.5 points. And yet again, I feel like this happens every week. Yet again, you would have only spent around $47,700. Like every week, it's $47,000 to $48,000 for the optimal or perfect lineup.
It's going to be that way with these long shots.
Yeah, only a total cumulative ownership of around 45% between those six guys, so very low ownership there. And the lineup construction was two guys in the 9K range, an 8K player, 7K player, and two 6K players, including Austin Ekroat, the winner. Now, what I found, a couple just key little things I found interesting. Obviously, the chalk was terrible. Only really, of the 10 highest owned players, only really Shane Lowry paid off 100% at the price and the ownership. You could say that Cam Young was maybe some chalk worth having, but you could also make the argument that you didn't. He didn't quite pay off the way you needed him to in DFS, but it wasn't a bad play if he did it. But I thought this was interesting. Of the 10 top DK point scorers, 6 had either not played the Honda or had a finish outside the top 40 at the Honda, and that's it, in any previous appearances. And I'm saying Honda, not Cognizant. So 6 of the top 10, in other words, horrible course history. 5 of the top 10 were arriving to the Cognizant coming off of a T60 or worse, including a handful of missed cuts. So if you remember correctly, last week, I put some of these details about the 2 previous Hondas and about how the guys on the leaderboard, the top 20, had a very mixed bag of form and course history. And it played out yet again in this Honda. It's just not a tournament where history or form seems to matter almost at all. You can almost throw it out the window. Yeah. And the chalk really showed that and bombed. I mean, Eric Cole and Stefan Jaeger and Rory McIlroy were the 3 highest owned players across all contests. And none of them paid off. Obviously, Cole and Jaeger missed the cut. But chaos yet again at the Cognizant.
Yeah, it's been absolutely nuts there. I'll give you a little interesting tidbit.
Ooh.
I was looking back.
I love it when you provide tidbits.
Yeah, and this has nothing to do really with DFS, but it does a little bit with scoring. If you look at the last 10 years of the Honda Classic, from 2023 going back 10 years, there's only been, I think it's 7 or 8 players, 7 or 8 players to finish the golf tournament better than at 10 under or better. Okay, so last year we had 4.
Yeah.
Because you had Kirk, you had Gerard, you had Cole, and there was like 1 other in there. Before that, though, when Matt Jones won, he won it by like 3 or 4. Ricky Fowler, I think, won it at 10 under. No, he was maybe at 12. Anyway, there was like only 3 or 4 others. But last year was like the first time in a while, like more than one person got to 10 under or better. And this year, I think we had 27 players at 10 under or better.
Dang.
Think about that. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how much that had to do with number 10 being, you know, an easier hole because it was a par 5 as opposed to par 4. But still, I mean, it just played a lot different this year.
Well, and everybody was pissing and moaning about the setup on, you know, on Thursday, which, I mean, it did seem a little, obviously number 10 did have a lot to blame. I mean, 10 became, it went from a, you know, difficult par 4 to a really easy par 5, like an auto birdie par 5. Everybody was home in 2 on that.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was interesting. I don't know. I do think they set it up a little easy. I mean, the wind came on Friday, but it did seem like it was just a little, I just want the old Honda back. I want the carnage and the chaos and the hold on to your, you know, hold on to your shaft and maybe shoot 8 under. That's what I want. But because the tour doesn't have tournaments like that, you know, like the PGA Tour doesn't. Like, we have majors, but the regular run of the mill, it just all starts blending together, you know, like every winning score is starting to blend together and every tournament starts to blend together. And it felt like the Honda had its own character. Like, it had its thing that defined it, that made it unique from the Byron Nelson. And the, you know, Byron Nelson is a poor example because it's like 30 under, but it made it unique from regular tour events. And it was fun, kind of fun to watch. And these guys, like, I heard guys talking about how they just hated getting beat up on 3 weeks in a row between Honda and API and the players. Like, cry me a river. You're playing golf. You're not playing like a Sunday noon game, a Sunday 1 o'clock game, and then turn around and playing a Thursday night NFL game. You're playing golf. Like, you have physio. You have physio people. You have stretch people and massage people and drugs. Why does it matter? Why does it matter? And if everybody's getting their dick kicked in, then who cares? Just go play good golf. Is the goal still not to hit the best drive you can and hit the best approach shot you can on that hole?
Yeah.
When you don't, you try to get up and down and then make a couple putts. And like, are there really guys complaining about that? To me, it just seemed like Rory, they needed a big star to win, and they tried to kiss Rory on the dick. And they wanted it playing easier. They wanted it playing softer, and they wanted him to eat it up, and he didn't. Because he's going to live. Just kidding. I don't know. I'm just kidding. I don't think he's going to live. Not yet. But I think he could.
I don't think he could.
By the way, I totally forgot to pat myself on the back for another live outright hit with Joaquin Neiman on the betting show.
You have like a different persona on the betting show for live than you do for the PGA Tour.
Why? How?
Because Neiman's been super short the last two times.
I know, but I don't have any options. Like there's 50,
I know, I'm still
52 guys in the field, and most of them I don't want to touch with a 10-foot pole. But
I know.
If you notice, the card was like five guys, and I put three units on Neiman.
So Liv has like been the opposite of
Liv is short. Is like short DB. Yeah,
because you've had Neiman, DJ Neiman, yeah, the last three events, all short odds guys for the most part, less than 20-1.
Yeah, and the only favorite to win on the PGA Tour this year is Jake Knapp, 50-1.
I know, it's crazy. It's
favorite.
Well,
anyway,
this damn chair always.
I just want old Honda back. All right, let's get into Bay Hill. Like I said, our boy Matt Every gave us a ton of good content on Bay Hill. Before we do that, though, we have a big contest here, and we're going to give you – this is an incredible opportunity here because we've stumbled upon it late. It's not the same thing we've done in years past. We don't do it every year. We don't do the road to Augusta every year. But we are going to give some lucky son of a gun a couple tickets to Tuesday at Augusta. Me and Pat will be there on Tuesday. I think we've got some other friends that'll be joining us on Tuesday. And we just came across two extra tickets, and we want to dish them out to a follower. But, yes, you got to do something for us. We want the Discord community to win this thing. And if you're already a paying member of the Discord community, annual or monthly sub, you're already in. Your email's in. You're in. You don't have to do anything. If you're not a paying member, then you need to be a paying member to be entered into this contest. These tickets are hot commodities, okay? So you're not going to get it for free. We didn't get it for free. You ain't getting it for free. We want people in the Discord engaging with the community. It's the best golf betting community around. We believe it. We know it. Where people are winning. People are learning. People are having a great time. Laughs, friendships made, meetups happening. It's awesome. Trust me, you won't regret it. So if you're not already a paying member, you have to get an annual membership to be entered into this contest. The link to the Discord is in the description. Annual Discord Nut Hut membership. That's what you got to do. So go to tourjunkies.com, check out Golby's Nut Hut, the Discord at the top, click the link, go through it, and we'll see you in there. And we'll draw for that contest here in a couple weeks. So there you go. And listen, if you can't make the tournament, we're going to give you the tickets so you can do with them what you want. That's what we'll say. You can give them to somebody. Do with them what you want. We don't need to know. You do what you need to do.
Yeah.
Tuesday at Augusta. Me and Pat will be there. It'll be a good time. All right. Let's get into it, Pat.
Okay.
We don't have a fight.
Arnold Palmer alert. Arnold Palmer alert. Who wants some Arnie Palmies?
Pat, name the movie.
That is...
Boy.
You're a lucky dog.
It's true.
Is it the movie with the Catalina wine mixer?
No.
Christina! You come Christine. To our house, you get my wife's name right!
Dude, I can't tell you how disappointing it is that you don't know that you don't know this
I movie. Don't. I think that's a newer... It's not newer, but in it's fact, not... It's not Step Brothers, but it's like...
Hey! You get back here, like, you make
It's like one of those Step Brothers type movies.
When Danny Woodhead and I did the live preview for Jetta, this movie came up. And we both said, it was one of our favorites. And I said, it is the best funny, the greatest funny movie of all time. My favorite funny movie of all time. And if somebody said they didn't think it was funny, and I'm not saying that's what you're saying, but if somebody,
well, I'm not saying that at all, just because
somebody did say that, it would be a deal breaker for me to be, have any sort of friendship with that person. But the fact that you don't know that movie.
See, I don't, I'm not a big movie watcher. I was like a big movie watcher up until a certain point, and then kids came around, and I just don't watch a lot of movies. I watch a lot of sports.
Tony, when did this movie come out? I mean, Pat had kids when this movie came out, but it couldn't have been. It's not a recent movie.
2010, 2012-ish, somewhere in there.
My first child was born in 2008.
What if I give you the actors?
Yeah, give them the actors.
Will Ferrell, Mark.
No, Michael. I know Will Ferrell's in it. I know that the other guy from Step Brothers is in it.
Nope.
The Rock.
John C. Reilly is not in this movie.
It is not.
Everybody listening is like, it's.
See, there you go.
They're screaming it in their car.
Shake it, this piss contest is over.
He's not.
What's his name?
Michael Keaton.
What's the guy's name? That's
Mark Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg. That's who I'm thinking about. He's in it.
Eva Mendes.
So they're like, this is the one where they're like cops or something.
There we go. The other
guys. I just can't remember the part. Yeah, the other guys. Okay. There you go.
Listen, I got this job and I got another job as a supervisor, a night shift supervisor at Bed Bath & Beyond. Okay.
See, you can't do this and then on the opposite end, like I start, you know, reeling off some Seinfeld stuff that you hate or don't know about. Like I could say the same thing about that. Like there, I literally would say, like, somebody who thinks Seinfeld is a crappy show or doesn't know anything about Seinfeld or who's never seen the Seinfeld, like I would probably think the same way from my generation.
Gators bitches better be wearing jimmies.
Then you can say that. You can say that. And then me and you would have an issue because I don't think Seinfeld was that good.
That's what I'm saying. Like there's a little bit of a generation gap between us there.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. Yeah, because you're,
I mean, there's not many people of my generation that would say Seinfeld isn't that good or is not a great show. Like there's just not. Yeah. I don't know anybody, to be honest.
And you just turned, I mean, you just had a birthday on Friday, and I mean you're pushing 50 now.
No, we don't need to put numbers on things. I'm just saying that there is a little bit of a gap there. We've known that. We've known each other for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
whose baby is that?
So, who I mean, the thing is that you could just, I could make the same claim if I wanted to try to be dramatic about it, like you were just trying to be. And I could just say, like, hey, I don't want to be associated with non-Seinfeld people.
This sounds like a potential ballet today. Ballet this sounds like a potential pontificate here, Pat.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the 9K range. All right, 9K and above. We don't have any 5K range this week, so you got Rory, Scotty up at the top. Let me get to my bet the number page here and bring in my DraftKings salaries. And here we go. All right, Scotty at 11.3. Discount Rory, huh? 10.6. Wow.
Okay.
Chalk in this range, I want to take a guess. First of all, I don't care about cash this week, even though I know there's a cut. 69 whatever players and variance that is still there with Bay Hill. Maybe not as much as Honda, but it's definitely there at Bay Hill. I just don't want to mess with cash. But my chalk guesses, I think people are going to pay for Scotty because there is some very interesting value in the 6K range. Very easy to make Scotty lineups. He continues to be Scotty. Don't know why you wouldn't play him. So I think Scotty's going to get plenty of love. I think Sam Burns is going to get a fair amount of love. We talked about him on the betting show. His odds have kind of, you know, stayed around the same. He hadn't quite steamed yet, but there's been some chatter. He's playing well. It's Bermuda Burns, whatever. Won twice at Valspar. 9,300 seems like a good deal for how good he's played. So I think Burns. Then the next two, I'm not sure. From there, I don't know where to make of like how it's all going to get, you know, disseminated between all these really good players, but I think Ludwig at 95 and I think Xander at 98 just feel comfy at the price and the way they're playing. Feels like you get as much upside as you would Cantlay at 10, probably as much as Rory, for crying out loud, the way he can't play four rounds. What do you think? Do you think I've hit it all? Do you think there's going to be some of those guys that, I mean, now that you've obviously had an awakening with your ability to predict ownership, like you talked about last week?
Well, yes. And I appreciate you mentioning that again. Now, did you just, what was your thought on Rory? Or you didn't have a thought? Because I think Rory's going to be chalky.
I didn't say anything. I mean, yeah, I mean, Rory's going to be popular. I just don't think he's going to be, I don't know. I don't think he's going to be crazy. You think he's going to be pretty crazy because of the 10-6 price?
I think the course history people are going to come in and knock that one up a little bit, is what my guess is. So I do think at 10-6, the price, you know, a little bit of a savings there, even though I agree with you on Scheffler, there's certainly a lot of lineups that you can fit him into. I think that, you know, $700 price break is probably going to draw some people to Rory. His ownership's going to be a little bit higher. I think Cantlay could be high too. I think Cantlay's kind of the one that I'm looking at like, well, if I'm going to get a lower owned Patrick Cantlay, then I'll certainly look at that. I mean, he's coming off of a T11 at Pebble Beach, T4 at Genesis. Yes, you know, he should have won that damn golf tournament. And Hideki came in and they said whatever, he felt sick. I know he acted real beta, whatever else we want to say.
Sick of being a bitch is what he is.
But still, Cantlay, T4 last year here. I feel like he could have some chalk. To me, Victor is a very...
I mean, they're all going to have some ownership for sure, but...
If I were looking at it, though, I would say, like, Scheffler's going to be the highest. I think Sam Burns...
Yeah.
...probably is the second highest, and then I would say Cantlay. And then I think Rory's still up there, though, like 18 to 20%.
My thing on Cantlay, like, and I'm fine probably avoiding Cantlay, is... Even though the Genesis was good... This in 2024, that was the first week we've seen him, to me, hit it like Cantlay. The first week in 2024 where he's gained strokes with his irons. That's not typical for him. Typical Cantlay gains strokes on a regular basis with his irons, and that's concerning at Bay Hill. I also think there's something too, and I think I probably talked about it last year, and then he finished fourth, which, you know, pie on my face or whatever that saying is, but. I do think there's something to a guy who doesn't play here because Bay Hill is a dumb course. It is. It's a dumb course. And so for people who have chosen not to play here and then all of a sudden he plays when it's a signature event because he feels like he has to, and I'm sure he does. I mean, good for him. Doesn't mean he can't play well because obviously he's a world-class player, which he did last year at T4. But I don't think this is a golf course that Patrick Cantlay is excited about playing. And Patrick Cantlay is not seemingly excited about much. So... it's an easy fade for me, which, you know, and then you get like Xander, who is Patrick Cantlay, and you get him for $200 less, and at least he's been hitting it well. Xander's going to check a lot more boxes. I mean, in the models and the all that stuff, Xander's going to be way higher up because Cantlay's irons have been down. Xander,
you're taking the conversation and moving it to. I didn't say that Cantlay was like I was playing Cantlay. I just said I thought he was going to be somewhat chalky.
But that's what I'm saying. I think people will be off of him a little bit. Not a lot, but a little bit. You know, I think Hovland might be the one that people. You think what are people going to do with him? Like he's played three times this year in 2024, and none of them all that impressive outside of maybe. I mean. Are we impressed?
I think there were some injury questions and things like that, or rumors. I don't know.
You have all that in the mix. You've got.
I feel like he's a good pivot play.
He is definitely. I mean, I think he's always a good pivot play if you get him cheap. But is he going to be cheap in terms of ownership?
I think he will be. Yes, I think people are very uncertain about Victor. Haven't seen him a ton. He just hasn't. He's been sort of out of the limelight a little bit this year so far
mm-hmm.
because he hasn't contended. There's a little bit of an injury concern slash live, whatever. But he has played this course well the last couple of years with top tens, you know, finished second here in 2022. That was right behind Scotty. And I think he had that. Was that the year they kind of lost the course a little bit? It was 22.
I don't remember, but yeah, I mean, I remember that happening.
Just very difficult conditions, but I do think Victor, like it, there's not a whole lot of holes in the game. If you're looking at like in the BTN model, he comes up fifth. You got like a Xander's third. One is obviously Scotty. Two is Sam Burns. So Victor's up there, and I feel like you're going to get, you know, I mean, it's in this field, shorter, you know, shorter field, the ownerships are going to be a lot more, you know, together as far as higher up. You know, you're going to have a lot more chalk up there at the top. But I could still see Victor, you getting him around like, I don't know, 14, 15%. I think that could be a good pivot play in this range. Because I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of, you know, like, I don't see somebody like Minwoo was a good example last week. Minwoo was like at 6 or 7% ownership or projected.
Yeah.
And he was what? I don't know what he was. Something over 9K. Like you're not going to see that in this range. I don't think that's going to happen.
Well,
you're
not going to find 69 players in the field. No.
No. So that means you're talking about what, well, what is the good percentage that's a good pivot play? I think it is going to be around 14, 15% in this range, which is where I think Victor is going to be.
Could be. Yeah. He's definitely got, I wrote down if you had to pick, and now knowing what you did on the betting show, this might be a tough decision for you, but I wrote down four potential pivots here as Hovland, Spieth, Homa, and Justin Thomas. And Justin Thomas, I don't know. I can see JT getting a little love. People are ready to see the JT come back and, like, you know, everything kind of come back full circle for him. Full circle for him, and he's at 9K. It just feels like a good price, a good discount. So I don't know. Maybe people, you know, don't play him. I don't know. But of those four, who do you like the most? Is it Hovland or is it Spieth, Homer, or JT?
Cool. Well, you know, I just talked about Spieth on the betting show, and I think you can make some, you know, I don't like the number of Victor for an outright. I do like it better for Jordan, especially at 22 to 1.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I'm getting a little bit better value from an outright play in Spieth, but I feel like I'm getting a little bit, you know, I have plenty of upside with Victor. If I'm having to choose, if you're trying to say like put me to the fire, I got to take Victor or Spieth in DFS. I actually do think I would take DFS for, or take DFS, take Hovland for my GPP lineups.
Take DFS for Hovland lineups.
Yeah. Take whatever.
You
know what I'm saying?
It feels like, you know, you could go either way. I like both of them. Obviously both have upside. Hovland might, despite the, you know, the lackluster 2024 form, maybe a slightly higher floor is maybe what you're getting at. Remember, it's top 50 ties or top 50 and guys within 10 shots of the lead again this week, similar to the Genesis Riviera. So, you know, we'll see what happens with the cut at Genesis. I think it
what
was
the hell, by the way. I thought there was all this talk about when we had elevated events, like people pissed off, including you.
So it's only three elevated events where there's this like minor cut. It's Genesis, it's this, and it's Memorial. So like the remaining elevated events that are on the PGA Tour schedule, the Heritage, I don't know who, whatever other ones, I don't know if Colonial is or whatever, but those will not have cuts. So anyway, all right. That's probably that's probably covers the 9K range, right?
Yeah.
9K above. Okay. Let's move on. Let's talk about the 8K range. You've got Willie Z down to Russell Henley and Sung J.M. I tried to tell you, Pat. Sung J. Something is up, dude. What is up? Sung J is not good.
What is wrong with Sung J? And he's coming on a play. This is a, he is, the last 5 years, he's never finished worse than T21 on this golf course. would you get sucked into it because of that?
No.
Or you're going to trust the stats more? Because right now, I'm trusting the stats more.
Yeah,
so I mean, I'm like...
Yeah, I didn't talk about, I mean, I wrote it up in the Discord, some of these DFS trends for the last 2 years at the API. It's similar to last week at the Honda. Like, course history and form, it's a mixed bag. So I just don't, I'm not going to put a whole lot of weight into Sungjae's course history. It feels like a different Sungjae right now. I'm sure, you know, we'll see what happens this week. Next week, we'll see him at the Players. We'll see our friend Willie Z or Willie Wilcox. At the Players, we'll talk to him. I'm sure Willie will tell us some, you know, something about how it's coming, and then we're going to all get suckered into betting him again. We'll see what happens. But I think I'm out. I'm fine. I'll ignore low-owned Sungjae until we see some flash of anything. I will say, I don't know if you could consider this a bounce back. I'm not sure how highly owned he was last week, but I could kind of see Russell Henley as a potential pivot for me. A little bit of a bounce back for me. I don't think he's going to be high owned. He finished T41 last week, and I do think he got a little bit of love at PGA National. But just, you know, the irons were pretty bad. He got it all done on the putting greens. But he comes here, and I kind of think, I don't know, I kind of feel better about him here with, I don't know what it is. I just have like this feeling he's kind of a bounce back boy for me. At 8K. Any thoughts on Henley?
I mean, Henley has not been one that I've thought about this week so far.
Yeah, I'm not doing a great job of selling it. I'm just, this is a plums play here. I'm feeling it in my plums.
I mean, I could certainly see that. He will be low owned. Tell you that.
Who is the chalk here in this range?
Well, I'm starting to think Jason Day is going to be chalky based off of our conversation with Mr. Matt Every. I do think, though, if I'm up at near the top, I do think Willie Z is going to be chalky. I do think Cam Young is going to be chalky because you think about it. I mean, look, it's hard to deny his history here with two top 15 finishes. The way he's been playing lately has been really good. So I do think Cam Young is going to be chalky. The one I really wanted to talk about because he just hasn't come up at all is Tommy Fleetwood. And we don't want to bet him.
No.
Don't want to bet him because we know he can't win an outright bet for anybody on planet Earth unless he's playing overseas. But
which is on planet Earth, actually.
Sorry, which is, yeah. I meant like anybody on anybody on planet Earth betting him. Unless he's on, you know, overseas. There's two parts of that part. You know, I was talking about the people of planet Earth and where Fleetwood is on planet Earth. You see what I'm saying?
I was trying to do a lineup real quick on like, okay, Fleetwood. Well, let me talk to Fleetwood and then I'll come back. Yeah, I don't hate Tommy Ladd as a pivot here. You know, it takes a lot for me to completely be out, but I agree. I'm out when it comes to winning. But I am definitely in if it just comes to, you know, DFS. Fitzpatrick's going to get some attention with his record here, yeah. having a decent finish. T21 last week, couple 67s.
Hideki, yeah. I feel like, is just going to get ignored after he just won. He's just going to get ignored.
Kind of chronically ignored. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see. I think that one could be fun. Hideki could be fun. I think you're right on the chalk is Willie Z. It's Cam Young. I think it's Fitz. From there, I'm not sure if it's anybody else. That's like real chalk.
You don't feel like Day is going to have a look like.
No.
You don't think when you look at the ownership when it comes out, you're going to be like, I'm surprised Day is that high.
No, I don't.
See, I feel like you could, for Day, it could be, you might not consider it chalk, but I just feel like the ownership is going to be higher than you would think.
By the way, Sungjae finished dead last, tied for dead last with Jerome Brown at the Seminole Pro member today. Some people were saying Sungjae really held Jerome down in that whole thing. That's in the gross. That's in the gross division. I will say that.
I have to. Did you see that? I saw those. Everybody always, the Seminole member or pro member, whatever it is always a hot topic on social media.
Yeah.
I saw the tee times come out for this morning.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, what about all the withdrawals? Like, what do they do? Like, all of these players have to play this morning. There's several players that were in the field.
Yeah.
Like, who do they have? Like, people just sitting there, like, waiting?
Well, remind me when we get to the 6K range of one player in particular that had to be paying attention today. No, yeah. I knew that. But anyway, I was trying to see, like, what does a Scheffler, Zalatoris, Young lineup look like? Like, because like, if Zalatoris, Cam Young, Scotty are all going to be really popular, like, how do people fit them in lineups? If you put those two to, if you put those three together, you're left with an average of 7K, which, you know, we're going to get to the 6K. There's a lot of good value there, but I think there's going to be some clear chalk in the 6K range. And now you're building like the chalkiest lineup of all time. So I don't know. Like, I don't know that you can have both Willie Z and Cam Young. I don't think you have all three of these together. You could have Scheffler in one of them. You could have both of them, Zalatoris and Young. Skip out on Scheffler maybe and do something different, leave some salary on the table because that's what you got to do these days, and get different. But yeah, it'll be, you know, I think those two guys will get a lot of talk and they'll be in a lot of lineups. It'll just be interesting to see how people start to put stuff together. Other than that, I'm trying to think if there's any other pivots in here. I don't think so. Like, I'm actually going to play. You might not be shocked because I know we talked about him in the top 20 market, but for the first time, maybe definitely in 2024, I'm in on Zalatoris and Young both this week.
Yeah. Well,
I think the prices are fair. The upside is as good as a lot of guys priced above and around them. Obviously, you got to consider the chalk, but I'm very interested in both.
It's really coming together for me with those two. Because last year for the Masters, I took Willie Z at 50-1. And I think I took Cam Young at 35-1. Now, I don't know what Cam Young's Masters odds are right now, but I do know Willie Z has been steamed way down to like 25-22-1, yeah, somewhere there. So I'm very excited about that. Because you're taking a little bit of a gamble, especially on Willie Z, you know, and if he shows form again this week and potentially wins or comes close to it, he probably gets under 20-1 with his history at the Masters.
Yeah.
Which from the get go, the first time he played there was good.
Yeah.
So,
which doesn't happen often. All right, let's move on to the 7K range. We want to thank our friends at Underdog. If you've not gotten involved at Underdog, you got to get involved. You've got best ball drafts. You've got pick'ems. It's fantastic. We're lighting them up every single week in the Discord, putting out plays. They're adding lines. They're adding new ways to play on PGA especially, but obviously all the other sports are there too. And the best ball drafts are the best in market, hands down. Underdog has owned best ball, and you can draft weekly for PGA Tour tournaments, but they also have the majors best ball drafts up right now that you do not want to miss out on before the Masters. So get in there. I think it's like $10. There's a $10 one. There's a $3 one. Draft some players for the majors this year. Give you a little bit of live juice if you want to draft a live player, huh? Yeah. Have some fun with that. Get a live player in there, huh? Anyway, you can use our code. Click our link. Code is Junkies. Click the link in the description. Scan the QR code here on YouTube, whatever you want to do. You get 100% deposit match up to $100. Thanks to our friends at Underdog. Let's get to 7K, Pat. Let's talk chalk. I don't think there's going to be as much chalk here. I don't think there's clear mispriced names in here. And it feels like a good spread of guys who all feel in the same spot, kind of. The only names I had written down, I do think Kurt Kitayama could get a little love, being 7,300, defending champ, having a decent start to the year. Kurt might get a little love. I think Matthew Pavon.
Oh, he absolutely. If he doesn't, he should.
might start to get finally like kind of get some love, like real love in the DFS streets. Maybe 7,900 just continues to just feast on the greens. He doesn't care if it's Florida, Bermuda, if it's West Coast, Cali, Poa. He doesn't care. He's going to gain 3 strokes putting. That's what he's going to do. And he had a big, bad, ugly double bogey mistake this morning in the Monday finish to put him at a tie for 28th. But Pavon's looking really strong. I could see that happening. And then the last one I kind of had a question mark around was, are people going to, you know, everybody said after Jake Knapp won in Mexico, and me included, like, what's this guy going to do when he's paired with Rory the first 2 rounds? And the dude went toe-to-toe with Rory, beat him, and, you know, on a course he'd never seen before. Now he's at another course he's never seen before. And he's 7,600. Are people going to keep riding the Knapp train, who has 3 top 4 finishes in his last 4 starts?
I mean, I don't know what that even entails, like how chalky that gets, because last week nobody went back to him. I mean, he was like 3%, somewhere in that range. I feel like you got to keep playing him.
By the way, you know who finished runner-up in the gross division of the Pro Seminole, the Pro Member Seminole event today?
Freaking Jake Knapp.
Matthew Pavon with Andrew Whittley. Pavon just freaking running rampant.
I'm telling you, he is a really good player. I feel like there's a nationality bias towards Pavon. People think that because he's French,
he's kind of beta.
He's
like ready to throw up the white. He walks around with a white flag in his pocket, ready to surrender.
And he's changing the whole narrative, you know. You know, Jean Vandeveld was out there with a chance to win the Open Championship years ago and created this whole thing for French golfers that they can't do some things. We had Victor Dubuisson, who was, you know, he was in match play. I don't know if you remember that years and years ago.
Beast.
He was a beast, and he was up there on leaderboards, but he couldn't win. But now we got Mathieu.
I don't want to take anything away from Mathieu, but I will say I've been banging the drum the last 2 weeks for the very cheap Victor Perez, the other Frenchman, who beat him this week and closed out a little top Frenchman bet that we had going on. I know my boy Dylan Hess caught that. So, I mean, the French are coming, people. The French are invading. But Mathieu Pavon is the general in charge right now. He's doing the dang thing. He's invading the Seminole Pro member.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like Pavon, though, and I do think he's going to be chalky. I do think Knapp is going to have some chalk, but I still don't think – I think people are just going to continue to kind of maybe bet against him a little bit just based off the form, and that he's – they kind of feel like there's got to be a little bit of regression there.
All right, let me give you 4 names real quick. 4 names that all missed the cut at the Cognizant. Got to pick one. Poston. He didn't miss the cut, but he didn't play well. Eric Cole, Stefan Jaeger, your boy Seabez.
I'm going Eric Cole. 100% of those 4. I mean, if you got to put a confidence level on them,
I am too.
I think Eric Cole's the one. Seabez, I don't know what to ever do with him anymore. He screwed my best lineup.
What about like the 4? All right, well, so take Cole out of there. So Mary F. Kill in DFS, the other 3. Poston, Jaeger, Seabez. Who would you marry, have the most exposure to in DFS out of those 3?
I'd probably marry Poston.
I think I'd go back to Jaeger. God dang it.
And then, well, that was going to be the, I'd F Jaeger, and then I'd kill Seabez.
I think I would. I think I'd actually F Seabez.
This is like D-Tree last week. I'm trying to tell you.
That was D-Tree mental. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Did you see how that course, you remember what I talked about last week, that course broke him last year? Did you see how that course broke him again this year? Yeah, and it did it even worse by making him five putt.
Six putt.
Sorry.
Just get it right. He six putted that thing. Bro, I've never had a six putt in my life.
I'm fairly certain I have not.
All right. Any other pivots in the 7K range you like?
I do like. I like Harris English. I like Chris Kirk.
Yeah, I like Kirk. I don't mind like English
guys. Outside of that, that's probably about it. Nobody's talking about Keegan. Keegan checks a lot of boxes here for
always.
For how you can play and win this, do well in this golf tournament. He's obviously got a great history. He's finished top 15 3 years in a row. It seems like just a little while ago you were talking about Keegan on a man on a mission this year. And he almost won. What was that, the Sony?
Yeah.
That was this year. It's not that long ago.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I think Keegan is in play, and I'm just going to keep doing it to myself. I'm just going to keep doing 7K Luke list in DFS. He missed the cut by two shots last week. He had a couple big numbers and has had some good finishes here. Hits it really well here as usual. Gain strokes, continue to bank on the Luke List putter turning around. Like he missed the cut at the Cognizant. It had nothing to do with his putter. He lost 2.5 shots off the tee. He doesn't do that regularly. He just doesn't. And he's never done it here. He's gained strokes off the tee here 4 out of the last 5 years. Gained strokes on approach 3 out of the last 5. And when he did, he gained them big time. Putted like absolute trash. But as we've documented, the putting is improving with Luke. So it's 7K in a tournament where, maybe 19 guys, 18 other guys are going to miss the cut. I don't know. His upside is enticing to me at 7K. Like this field is not a field that is too big for Luke List to like win, much less top 5, top 10.
Yeah.
And he's not going to be very popular at all. He doesn't have a commanding course record, course history here. He's got hit or miss recent form, but like that is textbook for about half the guys that finished in the top 20 here the last 2 years. It's like psycho recent history or psycho recent form and just up and down course history. That's textbook. Did I sell you on Luke?
Kind of.
A little bit. I could feel it. I could actually kind of feel it coming. All right, let's get to the 6K draft, Pat. Dude, pat ourselves on the back because we have to every now and then. Like when we hit it, we did the 5K draft last week. We had one player in the 5K draft, missed the cut. The other five. Huh?
It was my player. I feel bad about it because it could have been a 6 of 6.
Don't feel bad. The other five, T47, T21, T21, T16, and T9, would have scored 440 DraftKings points, and you would have placed and won money in, I would venture to say, every GPP you would have entered that lineup in.
Yeah. And think about it. All you needed was to take one or you had five selections really that would have done pretty well for you.
Yeah.
And you probably needed only one 5K guy.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, even the guy that finished T47, you would have been happy with.
Yeah.
Did that beat most of my DFS lineups? Yes, it did. It did. Because a lot of Eric Cole and Jaeger will do that to you. So, I said it last week on the show, I was going to ride with those guys and it just completely blew up in my face, but good job on us. Let's do the 6K draft here. Few names in here I think are going to be quite obvious, Pat, because they are mispriced.
There's some interesting price.
I'll let you start. You get to pick which one you want first.
Well, I don't understand this, and I think it's probably just stupid to even do this, because I feel like they're the DraftKings is just saying, take this person, and he's going to screw your lineup, and we're going to take all your money. But Minwoo Lee is at 6,600. I don't care. I'm going to take it.
Okay. One of the things I love about Bet the Numbers layout is when you're looking at these, you can see that you can have the DK salary prices next to their outright odds.
Yeah.
And when you're just scrolling through the 6K range, crazy. And like it's like 130 to 1, 80 to 1, 100 to 1, 35 to 1, you go, oh, okay, that's obviously a bad, like that's a free square that DraftKings is handing out. But it becomes a game theory thing, right? Like,
well, which is what I'm saying. Yeah.
Right. So, at what point is Minwoo too chalky for you? What if he's like literally 30%? Like, what if people are like 30%? Which, I mean, again, with a condensed field, that 30% is going to be a little like that's you get inflated ownership numbers, but I think it's realistic that Minwoo could be projected at 28 to 30%.
I think it's very realistic, and that's where I'm kind of thinking, like, if I were to, like, right now doing the show, I'm thinking, well, I feel like he's got to be in the 6K lineup, but if I were to look at him and see ownership at 30 or higher, maybe even 25 or higher, I'd probably pivot off of it.
He's just
take my chances a little bit.
The iron play is so volatile with him right now. I mean, literally, Waste Management loses 6 strokes with the irons. Cognizant, he gains 6 strokes with the irons. Like, he's just all over the place with the irons. And this is a second shot golf course, like most of them are. I actually think there's another player, my first pick, Erik van Rooyen, who
I was choosing between the two.
Right. I knew you were. Who I think at 28 to 30%, this sounds crazy. I think I'd rather have EVR. I actually think that EVR's floor may be higher than Minwoo's this week at this point in time at this golf course. I actually think EVR, the floor is higher, which sounds ridiculous, but that's how I feel right now. So I think if I were going to eat the chalk on one, it might be EVR. And we talked a little bit about EVR on the betting show. We kind of got into an argument about EVR. I texted with his caddy today. Found out, you know, I just asked, like, dude, what is going on? EVR feels like a different player these days. And there's some things that have happened. And we may be looking at a guy like we saw with Wyndham Clark when he won the Wells Fargo. Like, we may be looking at a guy who's going through a career level up. And it might be long term. This might not be a flash in the pan. And it might be consistent, and it might be on any field, on any kind of golf course. It might be here.
I was listening that time.
You know what I mean? All right.
I love EVR though this week. I was choosing between the two. I'll move up and I'm gonna go back to last week's winner, Austin Ekroth. He's at 6,900. You look at, man, his approach play these last couple of weeks. This shows you how bad he was off the tee last week. He was T30. He was T38 at the Mexico Open. He gained almost 5.5 strokes on approach. Last week, he gained almost 6 strokes on approach and won. So I think, you know, an Austin Ekroth who has been a stud on the tour, we have waited to be a stud on the tour kind of before Jake Knapp was there. Like Austin was the guy last year we thought was going to get that win, and he played 50 events and he finally got the win. I feel like it could, you know, another great week could happen.
Yeah, I don't blame you. He like these guys, he's going to be popular. He definitely feels like a cheap price considering where he's at. I mean, The approach play reminds me of Novak, like what we said about Novak last week, that the guy's gained 5 shots on approach his last 2 tournaments. He's dialed right now, and you just keep firing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Another guy whose approach play has been really strong in 2024 And his tee to green numbers here over the last 5 years have been tremendous. Also at 6,900, Emiliano Grillo. I'm going to go with Emiliano here. Had a solid year so far, really playing well. I mean, and having, you know, seemingly some putter success over the last few months. That's nice to see. I mean, last year was his worst finish year in 5 years at T39. He lost 9 strokes putting here last year. 9. That's hard for even Emiliano Grillo to do. And, you know, he's gained strokes putting in 4 of his last 5 tournaments coming in. I think he's a better putter now than he was last year. I think he's improved that part of his game. And the iron play has been strong. I'm going to go Grillo.
Okay.
One more each.
Last one for me. We talked about this one on the betting show, and this was also a guy that Matt Avery talked about, but Taylor Moore. You know, you get him over here back into the Florida swing where he won last year. He has not putted well this season. But this, you know, the Bermuda is definitely a better surface for him. But he's kind of quietly, it's not like he's been terrible this year. You look at his last 3 events, T47, T39, T31 at the Genesis. He's made the cut 2 times that he has played here. So I think Taylor Moore at 6,300, you're getting you've got a lot of upside right there. I think there's a decent floor for you to make the cut, you know, especially this field this week. So 6,300 Taylor Moore, he'll be my last one.
Okay. I'm looking at 2 guys. I think both of them have some decent upside. Both of them have some real upside. Both of them have some warts down here. I'm going to go with the guy who's paid off most recently. I'm going to go with Nick Taylor.
I don't mind it. I like it.
Yeah, I don't, he's never really played great here. He's played a lot here. He has had some success in Florida. I was looking around at some of his Florida track record. He's had some ups and down finishes. I mean, this is probably the tournament he's not played the best, but it's not. If you look at his finishes and his strokes gain outputs here at API, it's not terrible. Like it's just like he hasn't spiked really on anything in particular. But I mean, if you look at his last 20 rounds, this, you know, especially, you know, all of them in 2024, his iron play has been tremendous. Long irons, mid irons, has been very good. I think Nick Taylor gives you some real upside down here, and he's cheap. So I'll go Nick Taylor. The other guy I was debating between was Svensson, who just pissed a lot of people off with a miscut. Ooh, but,
yeah,
you know, it kind of feels like a guy who could turn something on here. So Grillo, Ekroat, Minwoo, EVR, Taylor Moore, Nick Taylor are your 6K draft players. Don't forget about the contest, the tickets. Join the Discord. Thanks to our friends at Bet the Number, Underdog. Go check out the Matt Every interview if you haven't already. And let's have a great week. We'll be back next week. The Players Championship, me and Pat going to the Players. We'll be doing the media thing Tuesday and Wednesday. Be out there Thursday if you're hanging out. Come see us. Come say hello. We'll be having some fun down there in Ponte Vedra. Always love our time at Ponte Vedra. And I don't remember if I said this on the show or not, but our friend Steffi Smalls will be sitting in the Discord Wednesday night live chat this week on Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. We will have a guest chatter with us every Wednesday night of a signature event. So you're not going to want to miss that. So check that out and have a great week. May your screens be green. See ya.
Out.